ARD.
SWR Kultur. Hörspiel.
Ja, ich hatte vorher gar nicht gesagt, wie lang es ist. Das war natürlich jetzt irgendwie das lange Crescendo dahin. Es ist 29 Minuten lang, das Stück Apeiron. Jetzt zu Leona Jones. Sie experimentiert gern, macht experimentelle Performances, Installationen, spielt mit Sprache, Stimme und Klang. Und durch Ortsaufnahmen und Bezüge zur Umgebung versucht sie, Körperlichkeit und Kontext hervorzuheben. Interdisziplinarität ist ein zentrales Element ihres Schaffens, kompliziertes Wort. Sie hat mit Schauspielerinnen, Musikern, bildenden Künstlerinnen, dem Publikum, mit Wissenschaftlerinnen zusammengearbeitet. Und sie möchte die Vorstellungskraft des Publikums ansprechen und dessen Fähigkeit zum Zuhören fördern. Sie ist der Meinung, dass aktives Zuhören für eine gesunde Gesellschaft unerlässlich ist, also so wie jetzt. Ihre Werke wurden bereits in Galerien gezeigt, aber man kann sie auch in Räumen finden, die normalerweise nicht mit Kunst in Verbindung gebracht werden. Sie hat einen Master in Performance Writing, ein experimentelles Gebiet, das die Interaktion zwischen Sprache und anderen Kunstformen erforscht. Und ihre Arbeit wurde unter anderem vom Arts Council UK unterstützt. In ihrem früheren Berufsleben war sie, ähnlich wie ich, Produzentin, aber beim BBC Radio in Wales tätig und produzierte und moderierte dort ein Programm bei einem lokalen Radiosender. Sie lebt in Cardiff in Wales. Noch ganz kurz dazu, Leona Jones hat mit ihrem Stück Bubble Snatch im vergangenen Jahr den Kaltschuker Förderpreis gewonnen. Der wird seit 3 Jahren mit einem Produktionsstipendium ist er verbunden. Und da ganz kurzer Exkurs zum Tschuckerpreis, der wird eben seit 1955 vom damaligen Südwestfunk gestiftet. Seit 1972 wird er bei den Donaueschinger Musiktagen jährlich verliehen und gilt als international wichtigste Auszeichnung für avancierte Werke der Radiokunst. Ausgezeichnet soll die beste Produktion eines Hörwerks, das in akustischen Spielformen musikalische Materialien und Strukturen benutzt. Ausgezeichnet wurden unter anderem, ich will sie jetzt nicht langweilen, Maurizio Kagel, Luc Ferrari, Gerhard Rühm, John Cage, Heiner Goebbels, Friederike Mayröcker, Pierre Henry, aber auch Oswald Egger, der ja gerade den Büchnerpreis bekommen hat, Christina Kubisch oder Olaf Nikolai. Die aktuellen Mitglieder der unabhängigen Jury sind Olaf Nikolai im Vorsitz, Inke Arns, Julia Kloth, Michael Grote und Thomas Meinecke. Leona Jones hat eben diesen Preis bekommen und mit dem Produktionsstipendium war sie dann diesen Sommer im Hörspielstudio beim SWR und hat eben dieses Stück Apeiron gemeinsam mit unserem Toningenieurteam aufgenommen und mit Audrey Chen als Vokalsolistin. Das können Sie nächsten Samstag um 23.03 Uhr auf SWR Kultur ohne Limit hören. Das ist dann die Stereo-Version. Genau, und jetzt noch zum zweiten Gästin. Audrey Chen ist chinesisch-taiwanesisch-amerikanische Musikerin der zweiten Generation. Seit 1976 ist sie in eine Familie von Materialwissenschaftlern, Ärzten und Ingenieuren außerhalb von Chicago geboren worden, hat dann mit 8 Jahren Cello und mit 11 Jahren Gesang gelernt, hat dann lange mit klassischer und konservativer Ausbildung auf beiden Instrumenten, also der Stimme und dem Cello, intensiviert und hat sich auf alte und neue Musik spezialisiert, trennte sich 2003 dann wieder, um wirklich neu in Verhandlungen mit dem Klang zu treten und eine andere Ästhetik zu entdecken. Seitdem beschäftigt sich Audrey Chen mit Stimme, Cello und analoger Elektronik und intensiv mit ihrer eigenen Version von Erzählen von nichtlinearen Storytelling. Ja, herzlich willkommen. Jetzt interessiert mich natürlich sehr, so I switch to English now. So I'm very interested in Bubble Snatch, the piece where you won the Kaltschuker grant. It was a text-based piece. And so what was the genesis of the new piece, Apeiron?
Right. Well, I'm sorry I'm unable to speak German, but I will do my best to try and express my thoughts in my own language of English, which is not easy because language is slippery. And I've always been fascinated by language, how it can mean things, how it can not mean things, how it can hide things. And I guess that's what Babble Snatch was based on. Hiding meaning, finding meaning, mismeaning, all of that sort of thing. But I get inspiration from a variety of sources. I get it from literature, which I studied as my first degree, but I also get it from films, from poetry, from scenery, from music, all sorts, and landscape. And I was lucky enough to be able to go to the Orkney Islands several times because I had a friend living there, so I got to know and understand them quite well without actually being a resident there. And I was house-sitting for her for 3 weeks, and I really found the rhythms of the small town of Stromness fascinating. It's a tiny fishing port, but it has small fishing boats, it has small ferries, and it has a massive, massive car ferry that comes from mainland Scotland when the tides allow it to. And when that ferry is in the town, it dominates the town. So I started thinking about how the people of Stromness are totally living a different rhythm from where I was in urban Cardiff, and really started thinking about how when you live in that sort of area, which I do love, you know that people aren't the most important thing in the world. You're living on a tiny crust, and the nature that's around you could crush. And we know this from what's going on around the world. And I just started thinking about rhythm. The rhythm of the ferry coming in, the rhythm of the days, because you can go through four seasons in one day in those islands. And how nothing ever stays the same, but it is always the same, because not a lot changes there either. So I started thinking about unchanging change. And I guess that's where it came from. And I wanted to involve the people who live there, because it's a harsh life. You know, the wind almost always blows. It's very cold in winter. It's not as cold as you'd think it would be because it's surrounded by sea, so that keeps the temperature up a bit. But it's pretty bleak. It's hard work. So I wanted to involve the people there as well. So I had this idea that I wanted to use the voices, because I find accents, the way people use language, absolutely beautiful. So I just basically put some posters up, because it's that sort of place. You don't use the internet because it's so patchy. You put posters up and said, would anybody be interested in coming and reading tide times? So I used the tide times for when I was actually there, and these wonderful people turned up and read tide times, not really understanding why they were doing it, because neither did I understand why they were doing it at that point. I just wanted these voices. So it was residents and it was visitors, which is why there's such a lovely range of accents in the voice reading. So that was the start of it, those voices. And of course, I do field recording, so I'd been recording the sea anyway, just because that's such a pleasurable thing to do. So I hadn't actually thought the sea recordings would be a piece. I just wanted to do it. But then, of course, the rhythms of the voices and the rhythms of the sea went naturally together. And then I got the chance to actually make a piece using these two things. And I started thinking more about how sea is absolutely intricate to being human. You know, we are water. We come from water. Water is what supports the whole planet, not just us. And then I started thinking, well, we know why we go to the seaside. We know what we use the oceans for. But what would the ocean say to us in our times at the moment? And that was particularly brought home when I found a book called Gaia, which is about the immense currents that fuel our planet, basically. And it was, the subtitle was The Plastic Ocean, and it's absolutely appalling. I knew this already, but to read this book really brought it home. So I thought, right, I need the voice of the ocean in this piece as well, which is where Audrey's part came in. But then when I started to develop it, it just started to grow and grow and grow. It became more than just about Stromness. It became more than just the way that we're polluting the oceans. And it just developed during the 2 weeks in Baden-Baden, which I am extremely happy to have been given that opportunity, because this piece that you've heard today would not have happened without that opportunity for 2 weeks working with wonderful sound engineers in Baden-Baden studio.
Yeah, now it comes to Audrey Chen that you involved in the piece. And how was working together with Leona and with the piece, how it developed all in the studio?
It was a real pleasure, actually. We had been trying to figure it out that we could actually work together once you, first time you wrote to me with this proposal, and I read through it and listened to some of her stuff and thought, okay, because I think this could work. So we finally found the dates and I made it there, and it was easy. I mean, there were 2 days, mostly one day of recording, and I was just responding to what I would hear and improvise. And then I would ask Leona, was that okay? And she would say, yes. Okay, great. Let's do the next one. So we did that over and over again. So it was basically sort of, a natural rapport that we figured out along the way, that I kind of instinctually tried to understand what she wanted, heard the field recordings and some of the voices, and she would explain, she would read to me some passages from some of the texts that she had written, and I would respond in kind. So I think I responded the way that she wanted me to. So that's sort of part of the natural dialogue that kind of went into bringing this whole thing together. And then she took all this recorded material and took it apart, took bits that she liked better, things that she would think work better in different sections, and then, basically that's how it came about.
The magic for me in the piece is really the coming together of the field recordings, of the underwater recordings, and your voice, and of course the gong, the tam-tam, mm-hmm. that is part of the piece. Yeah, so I think that was really, for me, challenging. And you can't differ between what's dolphins doing clicks or for orientation in the sea mm-hmm. and what's coming from the sea, what's added with Audrey's voice. So.
Yeah. Which is exactly what I was hoping to achieve, because I wanted to say how interconnected we all are. You know, we live in a world where there's lots of division, and many people are disconnected from the natural environment because they live in a highly urbanized world. And I just wanted something that showed that we all are part of this universe, basically, because it's not just our planet. We're a tiny speck of dust. We're insignificant, really, despite all our problems. So it went bigger than that. And, you know, we are moving out into space and we're doing things there. The amount of rubbish that's circulating our planet now in outer space is just incredible. So, I think that for me is the whole point of the arts, and to be part of an audience that's witnessing, experiencing the arts, is that connectivity. That's really, really important. So the piece is not just about me. It's about all the people that have given time, given effort, given understanding to bring it to this point. And that includes listeners, because a piece is never finished, but everybody takes away something from it and finishes it in their own way. I think that's really, really important to say that, you know, it's an open piece. Interpret it as you wish.
Genau, ich gehe kurz wieder aufs Deutsche. Der Zuhörer oder die Zuhörerin sind ja Sie, und deswegen würde uns jetzt auch interessieren, ob Sie Fragen haben noch an Leona und Audrey Chen zu dem Stück. Genau, wir können das Licht ein bisschen heller machen dann. Sonst würde ich noch, otherwise I would ask, do you have future plans to work with this material of Apeiron? What comes next after the broadcast next Saturday?
Yes, I mean, nothing's ever finished. Everything moves on. And there are things that I've done in the past that have been part of Apeiron. And there are things in the future which Apeiron will be part of. So it's about just keeping your antennae open, really, and finding out what gives you that initial buzz. Like when I went to Stromness and just fell in love with it. That's the impetus that I'm always looking for, something that gives the buzz to make you put in the graft, put in the work, and come up with something that you hope people will be able to share. And it's been an absolute pleasure, everybody. I mean, Audrey's input, Frank's input, all the sound people and the lighting people at the back there, you know, and in Baden-Baden, they've all put into this bowl, which then gets stirred and something emerges from it, and there'll be another bowl in the future, hopefully with some of the same people.
Ja, thank you very much. Jetzt haben Sie ja schon einen Reisevorschlag für nächstes Jahr. Können Sie auf die Orkney Islands fahren? Das ist bestimmt wert. Genau, es gibt noch eine Frage.
Also, was bedeutet Apeiron?
So what does the title Apeiron means?
When I was doing the research, looking into ocean, I discovered two incredible dudes. They lived 600 years BC, two very ancient Greek philosophers. One called Thales of Mycelia, and the other one then Anaximander. And the first one was just a tiny little bit before the second one, so he could have been a student and teacher, or they could have just been colleagues, but there's only fragments of their writing left. And Thales said, the water is the start of everything. And what's left of his writing. He did a lot of wonderful thinking about water. But then Anaximander said, no, that's not quite true. Boundlessness is the start of everything. And that really captured my imagination. And the word that he used to describe this boundlessness was apeiron.
Ja, vielen Dank. Da gibt es noch eine Frage. Sehr gut.
How did you develop the sounds? Is there any structure or was it improvised the whole time?
So I just repeat, how do you use your voice? Was it structured? Did you improvise?
In the live situation or in the piece? I mean, it's structured based on Leona's composition. But the voice material, it's all material that I use in the way my sound language that I use to improvise, which is what I do all the time, no matter who I play with or if I'm by myself. But it's been organized by Leona to integrate into this sound world that she's created. And then for the live performance, it sort of acts as a structure that I'm then responding to. So when I hear myself or there's like a little structure that I have with me, to just see what's happening and when, and then I'm supposed to do something. So it's more like it's a time to execute and time to stop. So there's these silent areas and then parts which are supposed to be silent, but then I kind of, when I feel like it, go in a little bit here and there. So I have a kind of very free interpretation on this, a very loose structure that she's created, so.
Ich schaue noch mal ins Publikum, ob es noch weitere Fragen gibt. Sonst wünsche ich Ihnen einen schönen Abend noch bei den Hörspieltagen und vielen Dank für Ihren Besuch. Ich hoffe, Sie haben es genossen.
Sie hörten den Mitschnitt des Podiumsgesprächs, das SWR-Hörspieldramaturg Frank Halbig mit der Künstlerin Leona Jones und der Vokalsolistin Audrey Chen am vergangenen Wochenende bei den ARD-Hörspieltagen zur Vorpremiere von Apeiron geführt hat.